This recording is a production of Faith Builders Resource Group. This recording was made at Reach 2022, a conservative Anabaptist ministry convention hosted by Faith Builders Educational Programs on March 24 and 25, 2022, in Lancaster, Pennsylvania.
Welcome to the mission of motherhood. Dear Mama, you're not doing it wrong. It's just bad heart. By Diana Spaulding. It's amazing how the smallest things can change your whole perspective on life. For me, it was the kind words of a stranger. I was leaving a Mommy and Me gym class on my way to pick up my preschooler, holding my toddler by one hand in the car seat with my newborn in the other. I opened the door and my toddler made a beeline for the parking lot, just slipped out of my hand and bolted. By some marvel of mom power, I was able to grab him before he got there, without dropping my newborn, but not without falling, tearing my pants and skinning both my knees. I just sat down on the sidewalk and cried. There are plenty of front row seats, special spots up here. I just felt so tired, so defeated. That's when she came, another mom I hardly knew from the class I just left. She knelt down next to me, put her arm on my back, and said, "You're not doing it wrong. It's just that hard." In that moment, with my hair matted to my tear-soaked cheeks and searing pain shooting down my legs, she made me realize it wasn't my fault. That I could try as hard as I possibly could every day, but sometimes things would just be messy. As mothers, we often start to believe that if something isn't going right, that it's our fault. Clearly I'm missing something that would make this easier. Other moms seem to have it all figured out. Why can't I? And so, dear Mama, I want to say loud and clear, it's not your fault. If you spend hours a day washing, folding, and wiping, but every evening your floors are still covered with Legos, crumbs, and tiny socks, you're not doing it wrong. It's just that hard. If every time you cross something off your to-do list, you add two more to-dos, you're not doing it wrong. It's just that hard. If you love your children so much it hurts, yet check the clock repeatedly to see if it's bedtime, you're not doing it wrong. It's just that hard. In that moment, when I felt like a complete and total failure, the stranger outside of gym class saw an exhausted mama who was trying so hard to take care of her kids. She saw me more clearly than I could see myself, as a mama who was doing a good job. The fact that you keep going, keep cuddling, keep cleaning, keep planning, and keep loving in spite of how hard it is, it's your superpower. You're doing the hardest job on the planet with dedication, grace, and love. And there's nothing wrong with that. Matthew 19:26. Jesus looked at them and said, "With man, this is impossible. But with God, all things are possible." Now, a little bit about me. I might cry most of the way through it. Ever since I've been in first grade, I wanted to be a teacher. So after I graduated, I started teaching. And that began my mission of teaching. Then I went to FB, where I graduated from TAP, and met my Prince Charming. And that changed my mission from full-time teaching to supporting my principal husband. I got married, moved to a new community, changed from being Beatsy, thank you, to being River Brethren. That was another change in my mission. Along came Shayna, our first daughter, and I entered the mission of parenting. I thought I was prepared for parenting. After Shayna, we tried for a year before I got pregnant with Cedric, and then I entered the mission of secondary infertility, a very rough year. After Cedric, I got pregnant again and had a miscarriage at 10 weeks. And I entered the mission of miscarriage. I finally got pregnant again 5 years ago. We had a stillborn son. His name is Nicholas. He was born on his due date. The cord was wrapped around his neck. I cried for the first 70 days. And many days after that as well. I entered the mission of grief and loss. And then, 7 months later, we found out we were expecting twins. I forgot to turn... whoops. Here's our family. Sorry, I got so involved in telling you about my mission. Shayna is 10. Cedric is 7. Nicholas would be 5. And twin girls Nadia and Nicole, who are 3 years old. And then I entered the mission of twins. Whoops. And that brings us to today. As a first grader who just wanted to teach, I had no idea the journey that God would take me on, how he would be with me each part of that journey, how much I would grow and change on my journey, and how I would walk alongside others on this journey. So, what is your mission as a mother? Or maybe you're here as a single person. I applaud you. You have a wonderful mission as well. I would like for you to think about the different missions that you have. Think about all the hats that you wear. And I want you to turn and tell the person beside you or close to you what those missions might be. I'm going to give you 1 minute. I'm a teacher and a mom. And I brought my timer along. So go ahead. Tell the person beside you about your mission, all the many hats that you wear. The many missions you're involved in, you feel completely overwhelmed. And it's okay to feel overwhelmed. All of us feel overwhelmed at times. But I would like to challenge you to choose joy in all the missions that God has called you to. I was talking to Polly, my 100-year-old friend, on the phone the other day. She lives in a nursing home, and she was once again quarantined for 2 or 3 weeks, however long it was. And she said, but I have plenty to pass the time. And she said, what's really important is that I make each moment count. And I thought, wow, if she can say that at 100 years old, quarantined in her room, I'm guessing she didn't decide yesterday to start making each moment count. I'm guessing she started years ago to make each moment count. Some of us have these ideals of going on the mission field and making a big difference in the world. My dear mothers, can you see the mission right around you? Probably if you grew up around the same time as I did, WWJD was very popular. What would Jesus do? What if your mission is simply to be like Jesus? As a mother, I would like to suggest that you have 3 primary missions. You have your husband, you have yourself, and you have your children, and many others that we're not going to take time to unpack. We're going to focus on these primary missions today. So first of all, let's talk about your husband. How can you support your husband? I would like to suggest that you make him number one. End of story. You've heard that song, Jesus first, yourself last, and your husband in between. Sometimes it's easiest to grease the squeaky wheel, the text that comes in, or the child that's screaming, or the mess on the floor. But after your children leave, it will only be you and your husband. Make him number one. One time at the supper table, I was eating, as you normally do at supper time, and Cedric asked a question, and then my husband asked a question, and when my mouth was empty, I answered Cedric's question, and then I forgot about Jeremy's question, which didn't make him very happy, and I thought, you know, I really should have answered my husband's question first. He is really the most important, so I'm learning along with you. Make him your best friend. Build a relationship that will last after the children are gone. If you need any more ideas on how to make him number one, I suggest that you read The Flirtation Experiment. An excellent book. It's better than it sounds. It's an excellent book full of 30 chapters of ways that you can work on your marriage and on your relationship with your husband. Affection, playfulness, desire, laughter, celebration, connection, vulnerability. Pick it up and read it. I also suggest that you speak positively of your husband. Did you ever think about it that you have the power to affect how other people think about your husband, whether positively or negatively? We as wives choose what other people will think about our husbands by the words we say about them. Never critique your husband in public or in front of your children. Here's an example from my life. My husband is also, he's a teacher, the principal at our school, and he's also a volunteer firefighter. There have been, the fire calls, the really big ones, all come at the wrong times. I guarantee you, they all come at the wrong times. And I have sometimes had attitudes about him leaving on these fire calls. I remember one time when my twins were little, they were babies, and I needed his help to get them to sleep. And he left on a fire call, and I wanted to say, "But I need help, honey. How can you go help someone else when I'm the one who needs the help?" Well, my children started catching on to this attitude, and I realized that this has got to stop here and now. I want my husband to help other people. I want my children to see my husband as a hero. And I have got to stop down talking his leaving on fire calls. And instead, when he leaves, I say, "Daddy's going to help someone. Someone needs help, and your daddy is going to help them." What you say about your husband matters. Communicate frequently with your husband. I have yet to meet a man who is a complete mind reader. When you meet one, and please introduce me. Tell him what you want, and I'm going to add, even in the bedroom. Find the time that works for you to talk. For Jeremy and I, it's after he comes in from school, but most often when the children are in bed. I remember my mom and dad going into their bedroom and closing the door and talking when dad came home. Some couples wash dishes or go on walks. Find what works for you. Communicate with him. And as you're communicating, speak into his life. If you don't speak into his life, who is going to? Proverbs 27:17 says, "As iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another." Our husbands are not perfect, and neither are we, for that matter. I was talking with a lady in a troubled marriage who said that as a young wife, she thought she was just supposed to submit to her husband. Now, looking back, in experiencing their troubled marriage, she realizes that she actually enabled him in his weaknesses, in his sin, rather than speaking into his life. So don't be afraid to speak into your husband's lives. You might ask, say, "Well, how in the world do I do this?" First of all, I suggest that you bring yourself. Not your girlfriend, not your mother, not what they think or would have to say about him or the issue. Bring yourself. And I would like to read a part from Letters to My Daughters, The Art of Being a Wife, by Barbara Rainey. She says, "Each one of you has strengths your husband doesn't have. He needs what you bring to the relationship. But the key is how you use your strengths to help." Bring yourself. Attitude is everything. Probably some of you have dealt with some very dramatic teenagers who have attitude oozing out everywhere, and you know what it's like to deal with them. Well, put yourself in those shoes. Attitude is everything. Again, Barbara Rainey says, "Again, the heart of the matter was, and still is, my attitude. He will know if you are for him or if you are against him in how you approach him. And it has to be real, dear daughters. not an act. Once you've brought yourself and you've checked your attitude, then start asking questions. I'm quoting Barbara Rainey again. "Do you mind if I mention something to you that I think you could correct?" That's how she approached her husband. "Here are more questions that you can ask. Can you tell me more about? Help me understand such and such. I would like to talk to you about something. When is a good time? What do you mean when you say?" And then listen for their answers. Actually listen. And repeat back to them what you've just heard them say. And then instead of saying, "You always do this, and why did you do this again?" Try this. "This is how I feel when you go on fire calls. This is how I feel when you get angry." Bring it back to yourself rather than accusing them. Just take the blame. Husbands want to be validated and understood. Recently, Jeremy wrote in a card that he gave to me, "Thank you for understanding me." And when I asked him what he meant by that, he couldn't really explain it. I thought I knew. I just wanted to hear what he had to say. He simply said, "Thank you for understanding me." Husbands want to be validated and understood. Be flexible in your relationship with your husband. How flexible are you? If I would ask you to stand up and touch your toes, could you do it? I won't ask you to. I'm not actually thinking of physical flexibility. I'm thinking of flex in your schedule. If your husband calls and says, "Can you bring my lunch to town? Can you go to town with me? Can you come into this meeting this afternoon?" Just drop what you're doing, unless you have bread baking in the oven, and go. You'll thank me for it later. I've learned this the hard way many times. Be flexible. You also need to be confidential. Early on in my marriage, I determined that I would tell my husband especially things about him before I would tell anyone else. Or sometimes, no one's perfect, sometimes I did say something about him that later I thought, "Oh dear, I probably should have told him this first." Then I will go to him and say, "Honey, this is what I said today, and I'm sorry if it's not..." You soon find out whether or not they want you to say that again or whether they simply do not want you to say that. Be confidential. It's a gift you give your husband. Does your husband quiver inside when he hears that you are going to be with your girlfriends? Be confidential. And here's my favorite part. Actively support your husband in his occupation. This will look different based on what your husband's occupation is. But presence matters. It's something we tell new teachers. If a student is misbehaving, just go stand by their desk. It makes a big difference. It can work in your marriage too. Presence matters. Am I supporting my husband? Does he know it? Does my husband want help? And what kind of help does he need? Husbands are different. Different husbands will be asking for different things. You and your husband have to figure out what that looks like for you. But ask him, "How can I support you? How am I supporting you?" Here are some things that I do. And different seasons are different for different people. But some things I do. Pray for my husband. First of all, I pray for my husband, hopefully every day. I take meals in. He'll often say, "We're having a staff meeting. Can you bring lunch in?" And I say, "Sure. What will I make?" Every Tuesday afternoon, I teach girls phys ed. And every other Tuesday morning, I go in for high school girls' devotions. That's high school girls' phys ed as well. Do I want to go? No, not every time. Do I enjoy it when I'm there? Yes, I usually do. And it has given me an opportunity to mentor some of the girls later in life, outside of school. I also mentor teachers at different ways and different times. We visit school. I do his bulletin boards. We go to eat hot lunch. I mean, who doesn't want to eat lunch with their husband on the job? Sometimes he'll call me and say, "This student is in my office because he did such and such. What should I do?" Which I enjoy because I love problem solving. And I was a teacher. I still am a teacher. So those are some ways that I choose to be involved in my husband's life. They'll look different for you. Find what works for you. There are reasons that I choose to be involved in my husband's life, and one of the biggest reason. Sorry, this is a very small plaque, but it says, "The gift we can offer others is so simple a thing as hope. My husband gave this to me 13 years ago when we were dating because it was exactly how he felt. The gift we can give others is so simple a thing as hope. It empowers him to do his work well when you're involved in your husband's life." Barbara Rainey says, Over the years of our marriage, Dennis has said repeatedly that one of the best gifts I've ever given him is my belief in him. It has always surprised me that that is important to him, because I see him as competent and strong. But the truth is, he, like all men, have an underlying need to be bolstered by the loyal, confident belief of the most important person in his life, me. I choose to be involved in my husband's life because it gives us a point of connection rather than simply running parallel lives. He teaches school, I'm a mom. When we're working together on something, it gives us a common goal to work toward and be a part of. It makes our marriage stronger. And ladies, this morning, my husband got my two oldest children off to school, and he took my twins to the babysitter so that I could be here doing this. Support your husbands. It's one of the most important things of your mission as a mother. How about yourself? Why does your mission include taking care of yourself? If you don't take care of yourself, you won't be able to take care of everyone else. I would like to suggest that, first of all, you should rejuvenate yourself. You gotta nourish to flourish. What's the first thing that comes to your mind when you think of rejuvenation? Write it down on your paper. The first thing that comes to your mind when you think of rejuvenation. Mamas, we all need to be rejuvenated. Take 10 minutes a day for yourself. I give you permission. Sit and read a book, go on a walk, take a nap. My husband thinks I'm addicted to my naps. I am. It makes me a better mom. Balance is key, though. I don't recommend that you sit down all day and read a book or sleep all day in bed, but take at least 10 minutes for yourself. You have my permission. Part of your mission to yourself is to accept help graciously. Don't turn food away. Every day when the bishop's wife drives into the driveway with my school children at the end of the day, I can't decide whether to shout, thank you, or to say, oh my goodness, she's really doing that for me. I've just decided I'm going to accept it and that it's a wonderful gift that she's giving to me. One day it occurred to me that if I don't accept someone's offered help, I might actually be preventing them from using their talents for God's kingdom and from receiving a blessing. Ouch. So it's a win-win situation. Another part of your mission is to accept yourself. Cut the comparisons. 2 Corinthians 10, verse 12 says, for we dare not, but they, measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves, are not wise. Wouldn't you like to be wise? Simply cut the comparisons. It's so easy to compare yourself with everyone else around you. Oh, I won't even get started. Let me let you in on a little secret. If God would have wanted you to be like your friend, he would have created you to be like your friend. Would you really want someone else's whole life? My sister and I have decided we would not. There are parts of her life that I would like to have. There are parts of my life that she would like to have. But I would not want to trade my whole life. So I've just decided to accept mine. Finally, sisters, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think on these things. Philippians 4, verse 8. At the end of the day, your husband and your children need you. So don't forget to take care of yourself. That brings us to the mission of motherhood. After having taught school for a number of years, I thought I would be prepared for parenting. I mean, all the problem students I had, you know, this was going to be a breeze. Until along came Shayna. While I love her dearly, she is a very intense, dramatic child. After Shayna came Cedric, who's much more of a model child. And my mom likes to say, if I would have had Cedric first, I would have thought that I would have had parenting all down pat, and the rest of you just get along with the show. So God knew what he was doing. Perhaps you can relate to this mother. Maybe some days you feel like this mother who went to the doctor. She's the lady in the green. She looks rather frazzled, as if she maybe didn't get any sleep for the last 6 days, needs 4 cups of coffee, and is still feeling totally overwhelmed and busy. The doctor tells her, "I'm afraid you have what's known as children." So, what is your mission as a mom? One significant part of our mission is to love your children and pray for them. Psalms 127, verse 3 says, "Children are a gift from the Lord. They are a reward from Him." Pray for your children every day. Do your children know that you love them? When have you last told them, "I love you"? I will always love you. And while we're on the love topic, go ahead and identify their love languages. Do they love touch? Do they love words of affirmation, gifts? What is my child's love language? Am I loving that in them in that way? And maybe it would be helpful for you to identify your love language, because that's how you're most likely to give love. Provide positive feedback. One man stood up in our church one time and said that he heard that you need to provide 8 positive statements for every negative statements that you give. Wow, that would take a lot of time. But think about it. Positive statements are so much better for our children. 10 positive things your kiddo needs to hear every day. "You make me smile." "I love you no matter what." "I'm here if you need me." "I love being your parent." "I saw you doing your best." "You should be proud of yourself." "Thank you for helping out." "Great idea." "I like you." "I'm listening." Say positive things to your children every day. Next, I suggest that you develop a relationship with them. I'll let it up a little longer. I don't have time to unpack all these ideas, but listen to your children. Really listen to them. And communicate with your children. Why? Because communication gives you an opportunity to hear what your children are thinking and feeling, and it gives you an opportunity to tell them what you are thinking and feeling. I can put this back up again if you want it more later. So develop a relationship with them. Again, communication gives them an opportunity to hear what you are thinking and feeling, and it gives you an opportunity to think about what they are thinking and feeling. What is your, listen to them, communicate with them. And what is your superpower as a mom? Remember the comparison, or cutting the comparison, that we talked about? You may feel guilty when you see other moms crafting with their children or teaching them scripture or fill in the blank. You can have a blast with your children doing whatever your superpower is. And in that way, develop a relationship with them. So what is your superpower? Eric Lochner, in his book Chasing Slow, says, "Live up to the expectation that you are what your child needs." God says in Hebrews 13, verse 20, "He will equip you with everything you need to be a mom," actually, "to do His will." He will equip you with everything you need to do His will. Be consistent and persistent in your mission as a mother. Never give up. Be consistent. If you say no, that simply means no. After a particularly trying morning, in which I sent a text to my mom that said, "Please send all help and prayers because I have a raging headache and a 9-year-old with a horrible attitude." And as I was thinking about that, I said to myself, "What did I do to deserve this?" And then I thought, years from now, when she has turned into a lovely young lady who is making a difference for the kingdom, I will say, "What did I do to deserve this?" When I told my father-in-law about that afternoon, he said, "You can't give up now." And my mom's response to that text was, "Sorry about all the challenges of child raising, but you'll never forget the time you invest. Big dividends ahead." We do that with our money. We invest it hoping for big dividends. How about your children? Be consistent and never give up. Have fun with them. Yes, you heard me correctly. This is part of your mission, too. When my children are little, I purpose to giggle with them every day. I don't get it done every time, but it's just a lot of fun. Just tickle them, or sometimes they're giggling, join in. One day I was shopping with Cedric. Well, let's say shopping was walking around the mall, mostly making returns. I still get warm, fuzzy feelings when he said to me, "Mom, this is so much fun. Can we do this every Saturday? We could bring the family." You know, we're walking around returning things. But this was so much fun. I can handle that kind of fun. Have fun with your children. Part of your responsibility is to teach your children to be responsible adults. Last summer, when I looked at my to-do list, and it felt like I had 16 things each day that needed to be done right now, I was feeling so overwhelmed, and I was telling my mom, and she said, and this really helped me define my role as a mother, "Your job in life right now is to teach your children to get along with each other and become responsible adults. Keep in mind that you are raising the future generation. Teach them proper behaviors. Mamas, children want your attention, and they want to please you. You know what? If you only pay attention to them when they are doing wrong, and you decide to discipline them, they're soon going to catch on. If I want mama's attention, I have to do something wrong. Instead, teach them the behaviors you want them to see. Teach them how to put their shoes on. Teach them how to shake someone's hand. And tell them what to do, rather than telling them what not to do. Don't drop it! You could say, hold it carefully. If they're not supposed to drop it, well, what am I supposed to do? Hold it carefully. Don't let the door open. Instead, you can say, close the door, please. Oh, I can close the door. And once you've taught them what to do, practice those behaviors. And then this is the best part. Catch them doing good. And this is where those 8 positive statements each day can come in. Catch them doing good. Have them put a penny in a jar every time they do something well. Or just give them, "Wow, thank you for using your words today." Teach your children proper behaviors. Help your children to succeed. Once again, my mom was a huge force in my life of allowing me to do all the crazy projects I wanted to do, but it taught me to experiment and to succeed. Some of them turned out, most of them didn't, but I got the idea that I could succeed if I really wanted to. And teach your children to be as independent as they can be. Now, this is going to look different at different ages, and different mothers mother differently, but for me as a mom, it's always very important that my babies sleep. And that they go to sleep by themselves. And so one day I said, you know what? One of the only things an infant can do is go to sleep by themselves. They can't feed themselves. They can't change themselves. They can't talk. They can't do a lot of things. But I want my children to learn that this is something they can do. They can go to sleep by themselves. One day, we were getting ready to go to Faith Builders for Teachers Week, and this was 2 days after my miscarriage. And I asked Shayna to wash the dishes. She was probably 4 or 5 at this time. And no, she said. And I thought, oh dear. I had just read The Whole Brain Child. I recommend it. And so I thought, well, I could spank her. Then she would probably grumpily do the dishes. So instead, I got down eye level with her, and I held her hands, and I said, Shayna, I packed mommy's suitcase, I packed daddy's suitcase, I packed your suitcase, and I packed Cedric's suitcase, and I continued to list all the things I was going to have to do. Would you please wash the dishes for me? Yes, mommy. And she went and washed them. So teach them to be independent. I also remember when I decided at age 8 that it was time for her to start cooking, so Tuesday nights are her cooking night. The first time she fried meat, I nearly lost my hair. It's hot! You know, and it was an interesting situation. But today, that girl makes pancakes every Saturday morning. She makes supper Tuesday nights. She can fry meat. She can do a lot of things. And she says, Mommy, I want to be a cook and a baker like you. And it's teaching her to be independent. Another part of your mission is to teach them to get along with each other. Teach them problem solving. Many times when my children come to me because they're arguing with a sibling, first of all, I'll listen to them. And then rather than stepping in right away, I'll say, well, what would happen if you would say, I'm sorry, or that hurts when you hit me? I try to give them tools to go back to their siblings and carry out. And one time I got to listen to my twins, who were two at the time. I'm teaching them the ABC verses, which is a verse for every letter of the alphabet. And we're only at C, so don't get worried. Somewhat, Nadia, I think, hit Nicole. And Nicole said back to her, be kind one to another. And so Nadia parrots back, be kind to another. What? Say it louder. I can't hear you. Nadia says, be kind to another. Nicole says, no, be ye kind one to another. They were modeling. I mean, they were putting into practice some of the tools that I had given them when someone was unkind to them. And lastly, next to last, on our mission of motherhood, live for the sparkle moments. Have you heard of the 80-20 rule? They say that 20% of the people do 80% of the work, or you wear 20% of your clothes 80% of the time. Well, there's one for motherhood, too. 80% of motherhood is a lot of work. 20% is joy-filled. I call them the sparkle moments. So you're just going to have those mundane moments. I'm going to quote my friend Jenny Dietz. Sometimes parenting feels as effective as running on a hamster wheel. Or, did you ever feel like with buying, selling, sewing, mending, washing, folding, and making sure they put something on that coordinates, you spend half of your life on clothing your family? Motherhood doesn't have to be defined by the mundane. Your mission is to choose joy. That's where the sparkle moments come in. Sparkle moments are the other 20%. Close your eyes and think of a sparkle moment right now. Maybe it's, for me, some of my sparkle moments are the kiss that Nadia planted on my cheek before I left this morning, or Shayna making pancakes after our harrowing first cooking experience. One day, Cedric bounded down the steps after I had sent him up to clean the bathroom, and he said, that was fun! Not sure that he always says that anymore, but I remember that. It was a sparkle moment. Here's a motto for motherhood that you can take with you. I got it from Heidi Marie on Instagram. She said she was getting ready to teach Acts 14 in a Sunday school lesson, and she recognized that Peter and John had been with Jesus. So she decided to claim this motto for motherhood. And while I truly want to mother well, she says, above all, I want people, including my family, to recognize that I have been with Jesus. In conclusion, your mission as a mother is to... Forget that. I'll tell you about that soon. In conclusion, your mission as a mother is to support your husband, take care of yourself, and teach and train your children. After the great fire of 1666 that leveled London, the world's most famous architect, Christopher Wren, was commissioned to rebuild St. Paul's Cathedral. One day, in 1671, Christopher Wren observed three bricklayers on a scaffolding, one crouched, one half-standing, and one standing tall, working very hard and fast. To the first bricklayer, Christopher Wren asked the question, "What are you doing?" To which the bricklayer replied, "I'm a bricklayer. I'm working hard to lay bricks to feed my family." The second bricklayer responded, "I'm a builder. I'm building a wall." But the third bricklayer, the most productive of the three, and the future leader of the group, when asked the question, "What are you doing?" replied with a gleam in his eye, "I'm a cathedral builder. I'm building a great cathedral to the Almighty." Remember, you're doing the hardest job on the planet with dedication, grace, and love. There's nothing wrong with that. Each brick you lay today makes a difference for eternity. Your mission matters. And I included some of the books that I referenced, The Whole Brain Child. I also referenced Serving Together, I mean, in my talk. These are some that I was reading about. And Parenting That Works, another book that I really like about parenting. I saw the two parenting books upstairs, if you're interested in those. And Regina, I'll turn it over to you.
Thank you, Diana. I have just a few announcements. The ministry focus presentations will begin at 12 o'clock and start every half hour through 1:30. You can attend as many of those as you wish. The ministry displays will be open from 12 o'clock to 2 o'clock. Lunch is available in the gym from 11:45 to 1:45. Not everybody can be seated in there at once, so we suggest that some people eat lunch at 11:30, some at 12 o'clock, and some at 12:30, and some at 1 o'clock. After you have eaten, please take your trash to the trash can so others can use your seat. The afternoon general session will begin at 2 o'clock in the auditorium. Please move there as quickly as possible so we can start on time. You all are dismissed.
Are the general session or the ministry presentations in the main auditorium?
They should be in your booklet. There's a bunch of different ones running at different times, and the locations are in there.
Yes, you're welcome. Yes, you're welcome.
Thank you. The car is on foot. My girls,
I knew you were really good too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We'll be here.
I have twins as well.
Two years old.
So it's interesting to hear what everyone
is
doing. They're girls. Yes. Mm-hmm. Mackenzie and Peter last
month.
Yeah. Are you a sister to Katie? Okay. I just started a book club with her that she's part of. And she said, I know she said she had twin nieces. And then when you said your last name was Powder, I was like, oh, wow.
What a wonderful time you are.
Yes, I know. Amber Lyric. Yes. Yeah.
I can send it to you. Yeah, just thank you for sharing.
Thank you for listening. All recordings from Reach 2022 are available from Christian Learning Resource, the campus bookstore at Faith Builders. To purchase additional recordings from Reach or other Faith Builders events, visit us online at www.christianlearning.org or call us at 814-789-4769.